This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
PCR.
You cannot root for your arch rival under any circumstance. Who's the one team that the Rangers fans dislike the most? It's the Islanders, and it's vice versa. So don't give me this business where it's okay to root for the Islanders. It's not.
Yeah, but if one of your closest friends is the former Islander, and he's like, hey, can I come over so we can watch this game? The least you could do is have him over, I think.
You want to come over? I'll leave the house. That's fine. You need a place to watch the game. I'm not watching the game with you and rooting for the Islanders.
This is GCR.
Just think about this. I could take the cup with me on the podcast.
And welcome aboard.
I haven't had a big guest like that.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, come on over tonight, DiPietro. I don't think you will.
Of course I would.
No, you won't. There is zero chance that you would come over for an 8 o'clock puck drop, watch the game, and then drive to your house. You'd get home at midnight.
Well, who said anything about coming back to my house? No. What? I would take a nap, which I'm not allowed to do, but I would negotiate it with the wife because my sister-in-law's here. I would take a nap, get myself ready. I would drive over. I would bring a beautiful dinner over for you. And we'd eat, and then I would sleep over.
Well, like a slumber party kind of thing?
Yeah, we'll have a slumber party. You got a king-size bed. You got a California king. I'll jump in.
Wait, we would have three of us in the bed?
Yeah, you sleep in the middle, obviously. I don't want to, I move around a lot in my sleep. I don't want to accidentally...
The last thing I want to do is have your body next to mine in the bed.
I wear clothes. I don't have to sleep naked.
You're making this very tempting.
I've never wanted to see a man naked more in my life. Then we pop up. Maybe we take a quick shower together, and then we do the show.
I can
like that kind of party.
No, nobody wants that kind of party. I can promise you that. Would you walk a dog with me at 3:45?
Yes.
Why don't you get them like a turtle
or something?
Get the dogs a turtle? That's so good.
Oh, by the way, Canty, we haven't even talked about this yet. So I don't know if you've heard the latest news on Get to Know Your Co-Host. But one of us on the show went 5-0 on the Chris Canty Friday.
Chris, I'll let you bet every penny you have who that is, the way he set that one up for you.
Oh, of course. I know it was Rick. Yeah. But I mean, I was tailoring the questions so that Rick would get them right.
Were you?
Yes, I absolutely was.
Like I offered, Dave. See, I told you. He's diabolical. I said I'd lay down. You said
why?
No.
You know what? I'm disgusting.
Oh, look at what has happened.
I mean, you're cheating for him to win.
It's not like I sent them the questions ahead of time, Dave. I'm just saying at the end of it, I had a little voice message for who I wanted to win. And that person was one Rick DiPietro.
You scripted it for him to win.
Well, yeah, I scripted it. Yeah,
You're a cheater!
Scripting the first 15. I'm scripting him so my guy can actually have success. And that's just because I wanted the door to be left cracked open.
Yeah,
so
that's
I could
exactly
become,
what you wanted.
I could come in a second.
So, yeah,
I
don't want to be left.
59!
I'm up by 1 point, right? And we go into the final week of Getting to Know Your Co-Host this Friday at 6:45 in the morning. If Chris wins it, we can't tie for a second. We have to have some kind of a tiebreaker system, right?
Yeah, we'll have to have some sort of... RJ's going to have to... since he's been better this week, I can trust him with this. Like, we'll have to have some kind of tiebreaker scenario. So am I doing the Get to Know Your Co-Host again on Friday?
I think either you have to or RJ has to, because it can't be... Well, who's it supposed to be?
Well, it's supposed to be Dave. It's supposed to be you.
Yes.
We decide you can't do that,
though. Yes.
Well, it's supposed to be me. All right.
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. I'll host it.
Yes.
See, this is not in Chris's best interest.
No, it's not at all.
That's okay.
Fine.
Whatever. I can't lose any ground to Rothenberg.
No, but if you don't
win,
now you lose.
This is the last week.
Hey, shoot or shoot, man. I'm going to take my shot.
Rick'll throw it. I know what you'll do.
I didn't throw last week.
Because it was in your best interest to win and have it come down to
this. No, it was not. It was in the show's best interest to keep this thing alive. But it was, no, anytime I have the opportunity to win, I'm going to try to win. I don't let Milo win on stuff.
Do you hold your nose when he fails, though?
No, no.
He should start.
He had great Dave.
Good life lesson.
You would have been proud of him yesterday at tennis.
Oof. What'd he do?
Oh, he was rallying back and played a game. It was awesome. He's got a little macaroni in him, though.
Does he smash anyone on the racket?
Yeah, he's not like he loses a couple points. Racket goes down. He's laying on the ground.
I love it. Did I ever tell you my McEnroe story?
No.
So I'm taking tennis lessons. This is in the Wayback Machine. And I walk in, and my pro was he was well known in the Long Island circles, and he knew John McEnroe. And I guess McEnroe needed a court to play on. So I go in. He goes, "Hey, just to let you know, McEnroe's on the next court over from you." I'm like, "Wow!" So louder. Well, are you kidding? Oh, what a disaster! How do you call that out? And John opens the curtain. He goes, "Can you shut up, please?" and closes it. And that was my brush with John McEnroe.
But you were trying
to
impress
it. So loud and annoying that John McEnroe was turned off by it.
Yeah, but that was your goal, though, was to impress him, though, with your craziness, though, wasn't it?
Yes, but you know, and again, I'm probably like 12
years
old.
You can't be serious, man.
I was serious.
You cannot be serious.
I was serious, and I was over the top. And I think I don't know if he thought I was mocking him or if I was actually annoying him because he was just trying to quietly warm up. But yeah, he opened the curtain. And he said, "Could you please shut up?" and close the curtain.
Did you tell him at all? Like, did you get a chance to tell him that you hit someone in the face with your racket?
No. John, you'd be so proud. John, wait. Right in the face. No, I didn't get a chance. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so no Harden, no Kyrie, all KD. Do you realistically think, Chris, that he can? I know that you won't blame him if he doesn't. Can he carry this team to victory tonight on his back?
Yeah, I think Kevin Durant can. There's a path to victory for the Brooklyn Nets tonight, but I mean, they don't have a whole lot of margin for error because they don't have Kyrie or James Harden. That's what it comes down to. I mean, you're going to have a lot of guys play at a level that we quite frankly haven't seen them play at, you know, the last couple of games. Like, Mike James is going to have to step up in a big way, not just creating shots for himself and for others, but I mean, just in terms of alleviating the pressure for Kevin Durant on the offensive side of the floor. Joe Harris is going to have to knock down shots. Like, that's another guy that's going to have to be great tonight. Like, he's going to have to be able to space the floor for him, create more room for Kevin Durant to work, because we saw in game four when Kyrie Irving went out, the focus of that Bucks defense was able to lock in and make life really difficult for Kevin Durant. If Joe Harris is knocking down three-pointers, it makes it a lot harder for those Bucks help defenders to leave to be able to double team and triple team Kevin Durant. So I just think they've got to have a lot of the guys in the supporting cast step up. They're coming back home. We know that role players play better at home, so there'll be the opportunity for that. The crowd will be behind them. They'll be able to feed off of that energy. It's just a matter of them being able to go out there and execute. So I do think there is a path to victory. It's just going to be really, really tough.
Let me ask you guys a question. How much of what you saw in game four from the other role players from the Nets had to do with kind of almost being in shock that Kyrie was hurt?
Yeah, I think a lot of it. I think that I think the energy was completely sapped away. At least tonight, they know going in. Like, we have to be responsible to help Kevin Durant win this game. The other night, it was like, all right, well, we got Kyrie. Then he goes down, and I think that was a huge shot for them. I do. I think that was a tremendous blow for them.
Yeah, because, I mean, you saw it in that third quarter, right? Like, it was like, okay, Kyrie was out. You know, KD tried to do whatever he could do in that third quarter. I mean, he had 16. He scored assisted on 18 of the 21 points. But it was him, and that was it. Like, there was no one else that was participating. If they have any shot in tonight's game, it's going to be, I think, a couple things. I think it's going to have to be officiated different than it was in game four. If it's as physical, that's going to be tough on Kevin Durant. And defensively, this is going to have to be a monumental effort from them defensively. Because I can't imagine. Like, I don't know. They're not the same potent offense without those guys.
No.
How many points wins this game tonight, you think?
If Brooklyn wins
this game, how many points do they need for you to say, you know what, that number, it will be enough? 95?
I think if Brooklyn wins this game, I think they have to hold Milwaukee under 100.
All right.
Or somewhere right around 100. I mean, that's how it's going to have to be. And they can't – and Chris and I, we talked about this after the last game, too. It's – you can't give especially Giannis, because Giannis in transition is unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a wrap. Like, you can't – with the 17 turnovers – and you saw that once Kyrie was out, Like the turnovers, it wasn't nearly as, you know, the assists weren't there because guys weren't making shots. But you can't make it easy on Milwaukee. This is going to have to be like one of those like slog it out kind of deals.
The uglier the better for Brooklyn tonight.
Yeah. Because you know that's how Milwaukee's going to play. I mean, that's how Milwaukee wants to play. They want to beat the hell out of Kevin Durant is what they're going to try to do.
No, that's got to be your game plan, no?
It has to be because it worked in game four with him. Like you started to see him get frustrated. I don't know how you wouldn't. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't either. If I mean, it's just you and that's pretty much it.
Exactly.
Anyone would be frustrated. But Dave, you mentioned it. I thought it was a great point. And that, if all of a sudden this thing is getting called differently than game four and P.J. Tucker picks up an early couple fouls, like that could change
the entire dynamic of the game changes.
That could change some stuff. But, I mean, Chris is absolutely right. All those other guys have to play. Like, this has to be one of those ones where it's like you're talking about guys having, you know, playing as well as you've ever seen them play. Like, Mike James has one of his best games. Joe Harris all of a sudden turns into what we expect from Joe Harris. Jeff Green, I mean, that was unfair to Jeff Green, too, coming back from, I mean, he just came back.
Yeah, they put a lot on him.
And you throw him into the fire like that. Nick Claxton has to be good defensively. Like, they all have to have, like.
He can't get into early foul trouble, too.
No.
Because you saw that happened in game four in that first half. Like, he's got to make sure that he plays a clean game and he stays available for Steve Nash to be able to stay with him long enough to impact the game on the defensive end. Because Nick Claxton is huge in terms of what he does. And we talk about trying to limit some of those easy opportunities, those bunnies at the bucket for the Bucks. Like, that's going to be a part of it. Like, Nick Claxton has to be a factor. Because I'm saying this, guys. Like, this Bucks team has not shot well throughout the course of this series. Now, it was better in game four, but they have not shot well. So, I mean, if you're the Nets, like, force them to make shots. Force them to make shots from the perimeter and see where that leads. Because I just feel like that's an opportunity for them. If they can be able to get some stops on the defensive end and you know, being able to get out in transition off of some misses, that could be a part of the equation in terms of trying to facilitate your offense and get other guys going outside of Kevin Durant. So I just feel like, you know, it works hand in hand, but I mean, this is a huge game for the Nets. They got to be able to try to find a way.
I would imagine Bruce Brown's going to be better too because he wasn't very good in game four.
They were bad. They were
no,
all bad.
And then you know who else might be sneaky play a role tonight, or he should at least, is Landry Shamet. Because, I mean, he has the capabilities, the way he shoots.
They got to play their guys, and whoever plays best is the guys you roll with. I mean, there's no feelings now at this point. This is the most important game of the season. Marco in Brooklyn. Good morning, Marco. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Hello, Marco.
Polo.
he's totally missing. He just called.
Marco. I love Marco Polo. Favorite pool game? Is Marco Polo top of the list?
What do I have basketball in the pool?
Yeah, basketball in the pool.
Yeah. Marco.
Hello?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how you guys doing?
We picked up your call like 30 seconds ago, Marco. We've just been waiting for you.
My apologies. I got a call from work. I put you guys on hold. I didn't think it would be that fast.
Very unfortunate.
I respect that.
But I think it's ridiculous how many excuses you guys are making for Kevin Durant. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league, if not the best player in the league. And he can't have one game where he carries his team to win. I mean, it's been 5 years since he faced a drop of adversity in the playoffs. With the Warriors, he could have not played the entire season, the entire postseason, woke up in the finals and won. I think it's crazy.
No, I don't think anyone's saying, listen, we're just not trying to make excuses. I mean, there'd be reasons why they don't win.
There's pressure on Durant tonight.
100% there's pressure on Kevin Durant. It's not about just winning one game. It's about trying to find a way to win this series. Or at least giving yourself some time to, you know, get Harden back.
Mm-hmm.
But they lose this game. I mean, they're going to be this.
They lose this game. I don't know if it comes back
play
to Brooklyn.
And they're done.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. If they lose this game, I don't know that it comes back to Brooklyn.
Right. I think it's pretty cut and dry, to be honest with you. If they lose this game and those guys don't play in game six, the series is done.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, too. And again, we just want to point to Kevin Durant and say, you know, he's the best player on the planet. And I would agree, offensively, efficiency and everything else, he's right now the best scorer on the planet. I would agree with that. But you also have to remember, it's like he's not a guy that plays a position where the ball's always in his hands. Like, he's not, like, LeBron James is maybe the greatest point guard we've ever seen in our entire lives. Like, that's who LeBron James is. Like, it's, he can make everyone around him better. Kevin Durant, that's not what he does well. Like, he can do it, but that's not what he does well.
Well, there's going to be the expectation that he's going to raise the level of his game tonight and try to will his
I'm not worried about him raising his level. I know he'll raise his level. I'm more concerned about him raising the level of everyone else around him.
Well, I don't know that that's his game, like you just
mentioned.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I don't know that he can do that. I mean, someone else, at least one of the guys, is going to have to step up his game, whether it's Mike James or Joe Harris or someone. Someone needs to raise the level of their game because he can't do everything for this team tonight.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcast.
The Nets are 9-6 this season with just one of the big three playing. Any idea what their record is when it's only KD, though?
4-1.
So you got the email as well?
No, I saw this morning.
Well, that's correct. They're 4-1 when that one player is Kevin Durant. Obviously happened five times. They lost the first one to Oklahoma City, beat Denver, the Knicks, the Timberwolves, and the Pacers. So, listen, I would not be stunned if the Nets won this game tonight. Would you guys? Stunned?
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
Really?
I'd be surprised, yeah. Just because I know the urgency that the Bucks have to come into this game with. Like, this is the golden opportunity for the Milwaukee Bucks to get past the second round and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, they finally had the opportunity to lock in Giannis to that long-term deal. They were able to bring over Jrue Holiday and P.J. Tucker. Like, they've been building to get to this point. And then, oh, by the way, the Brooklyn Nets, because of injury, are gift-wrapping an opportunity to them to take control of this series. Like, if they don't take advantage of it in Game 5, I think it says more about the Bucks than it does the Nets. So, yeah, I would be surprised if Brooklyn were to win this game tonight. I'm not saying that it's going to be impossible. I would be surprised.
I think I'm with you, Dave. I don't think I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, I don't think this would be a shock if the Nets went out there. Durant had a great game. A couple of the role players stepped up, and they snuck out with a victory.
I think it's just a different... The reason why I asked you that question earlier, just how deflating was the loss of Kyrie, I just think it's different now going into the game knowing that you're not going to have Kyrie and Harden. Knowing, like, as one of those roles, like, I'm gonna be a big part of this. I'm going to need to step up. I just think it's different.
Go ahead.
No, but the other thing, too, is, though, we've seen it. I mean, it's fact. Like, role players at home play better. And role players on opposing teams don't play as well on the road. So, I mean, the Brooklyn Nets defense has been good. It has. Their defense has been good this series. So, I mean, if they can play great defense and Kevin Durant has a night and you get contributions from other places like Joe Harris, will you expect to be better?
He has to.
I mean, he has to be better.
How many points do you think Joe Harris scores in this game tonight? I say he's going to get 17. Like, he's going to put the ball in the basket tonight.
He can't be any worse than he was in games 3 and 4.
No. Now, I will tell you this. If you get that version of Joe Harris, I find it very difficult to believe that Brooklyn wins this game tonight.
Agreed, but I mean, I'm counting on Kevin Durant having a good game and guys around him stepping up and playing well. And then we'll see what happens. I think the officiating is going to be a big factor tonight.
Are you picking the Nets to win this game tonight?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. You let us know before the three stars?
Will you let us know who you're picking tonight?
I will.
Because for some reason, it always feels like you ask me and Canty and you never tell us who you're picking.
Well, you back us into a corner. That's not true. Then ask me questions. I'm an open book. What do you want to know?
Who do you think wins tonight?
You want me to tell you right now or save it for later?
No, save it. Tease it.
All right. I'll save it for later. What else do you want to know? I'm an open book. Ask me anything.
I have nothing.
Well, see, there you go. Here's your opportunity. Let it go. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's get to some of the calls. Let's get to Anthony in the car. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7.
Morning, guys. I love the show. I listen every morning. I'm a Knicks fan, so I don't really have a dog in the fight. But just talking about what you guys were talking about before, it's going to be an incredible testament to Kevin Durant to just do it with a bunch of guys. And he better watch out, because if he doesn't, Omar's going to have Amazon sending wicker baskets with vipers and tarantulas and everything else you can imagine, and they're sending them to his house.
I think that's what Omar wants to have happen, Anthony. Thanks for the call. I think Omar loves the Knicks. And I think Omar is such a passionate Knicks fan. And I respect this, and I get it, that he takes great enjoyment in the Nets losing. Yeah, exactly. Like he said right there. And he is going to take great enjoyment if the Nets lose and if Kevin Durant does not play his A-level game tonight. And that's what he's banking on. And then he will celebrate.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know why. His motivation is that Kevin Durant spurned the Knicks.
Right.
Which, well, I think all Knicks fans feel that way.
So if he does not play well tonight, or if they lose that game tonight, he will take great enjoyment in that. And I understand that.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I don't feel similar. I'm not going to start, I don't wish bad upon Kevin Durant, but I mean, I would have loved to have seen him in a Knicks uniform instead of a Brooklyn Nets uniform.
Well, had the opportunity.
So Knicks fans are actively rooting for the Bucks in this situation?
I would think so.
In this series? Okay.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think that that's the case. Yeah. Let's go to Keith and Edison. Keith, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, hey guys, how you doing? You guys are the best in the business, man. Hey, so what I don't understand, though, is after game two, Nets are up 2-0. Nobody gave the Bucks a chance, right? You would say 0% chance.
0% chance,
we just
correct.
Wrote it. Right. So Kyrie, and that was assuming Harden was not coming back. So Kyrie Irving goes down. Now we act like the Nets are just like the long shot. They don't have, they barely have a chance. How did it swing a complete pendulum to the opposite side where the Bucks, the coach is going to be fired if they don't win?
How do you not understand how it swung?
Zero chance.
You
one,
lost
one player. So Kyrie Irving, one player.
Yeah, he's a top 10 player in the NBA. That's a big deal. missing that one player is a really big deal.
But so Anthony Davis goes down. Did we say that's it? The Lakers are a long shot.
Yeah. What happened to the Lakers?
What did they
give you when Anthony Davis went down?
But we didn't say they had no chance. It's like given Durant gets a pass. I don't know why he gets a pass.
I don't see how he gets a pass. Let's see what he is tonight before you just sit here and just give him a free pass. If he's terrible tonight, I think he'll be called out for that.
I don't understand why we can't just wait and see how the game plays out. I mean, how has it changed? Well, because Kyrie Irving's out. James Harden's out. That's how it changes. The reason why you gave him no chance was because of what you saw in game two.
You lost 60 points and 20 rebounds and 15 assists. How's it changed?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the conversation surrounding the Lakers. I mean, Chris is a Lakers fan. Once AD went down,
the Lakers probably not going to be able to make it past the Suns. Yeah, that was the conversation. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's... I don't think anyone's given Kevin Durant a pass. We haven't even seen the game play out yet.
Let's see how it plays out, and we'll react to it tomorrow. Greg in Piscataway. Good morning, Greg. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, I love how quickly the narrative has changed on Kevin Durant. And, I mean, look, it's coming from a disgruntled Knicks fan. But if this guy is the superstar they says he is, and, I mean, there's no reason to believe that he's not, he should have at least given him a chance. Nobody's given him a chance. Or nobody's given the Nets a chance. I'm not saying you guys, but just talking to people and everything like that. Nobody's given the Nets a chance, and they're already starting with the excuses of, oh, Kyrie's hurt. Kyrie's typically an injury-prone player. That's what happened. James Harden's not necessarily an injury-prone player.
But Greg, what does that have to do with Greg, what does the fact that he is injury-prone have to do with anything right now? He's injured. He's not injury prone currently. He's injured, so he's not playing.
But this what are you saying,
so just expecting going in that he's going to be hurt?
I don't feel bad. No, this is the reason why I don't feel bad for him. This is the reason why I don't feel bad for him. And actually, I am rooting against them. I do hope that they lose. I don't feel bad for I don't.
Who's asking you to feel bad for them, Greg? Have we one time said we feel bad for Brooklyn?
I'm not saying you guys. I'm just saying the overall narrative of speaking with people.
You think the overall narrative surrounding Brooklyn is, oh, woe is them. We feel so badly for them. I haven't heard that at all.
I have a lot of friends who are Nets fans, and yes, that's the overall.
Oh, but you're talking about Nets fans. Yeah. You mean the overall narrative. Of course, Nets fans feel bad for themselves right now. They have a team that was supposed to win the NBA Finals and now may not get out of the second round because they lost.
Well, you hate to see a series decided by injury. You hate to see that happen. That's the thing. Like, we're in the playoffs now. You hate to see somebody lose an opportunity to compete for a championship because you're talking about guys being hurt. Like, what happened to Kyrie in the second quarter of Game 4 was unfortunate. Like, that sucks because the complexion of the series completely changed. And now we're talking about the Bucks being favored to win Game 5 on the road. And you have to say if James Harden and Kyrie can't play in Game 6, that the Bucks are probably going to close them out. So I just it sucks that could be the reality that Brooklyn is facing.
Now, I know you didn't want to go with it before because you weren't certain that it was accurate, but I did a little research. It is accurate. And this is bizarro to me. Milwaukee is favored to win the series. They're minus 170 to win the series, but the Nets still have better chances to win the Eastern Conference, according to William Hill, at plus 165.
Yeah, I don't get it, unless they think that, you know, James Harden's...
Yeah, I guess the thought is if they can somehow get by this series, which they don't expect them to, but if they do, those guys are healthy and they give them the better chance to win the next round. I guess.
It would have to be that James Harden is coming back. Because I don't know how anyone can forecast when Kyrie's going to be back from that ankle.
No, that was brutal.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Islanders game 3 against the Lightning.
You want to go?
On Thursday. No.
What about Saturday?
You couldn't pay me enough to go.
You're not a real friend.
Well, you don't go.
Well, maybe I would decide to go if you wanted to come with me. I have no one to go with.
Let's go to the Mets game.
Well, I didn't ask you to go to the Mets game.
To go to the Mets game. Sit outside. I have to hear those people chanting yes, yes, yes in my face. I wouldn't want any part of that.
Like, if you asked me to go to a Giants game with you, as much as I hate the Giants,
if you asked me to go to a Jets game, if I asked you to go to a Rangers Eastern Conference Finals game, you're not going to want to go to that.
If it made you happy, I would go.
Stop it.
What do you mean? I like to see
Stop
you happy.
It. So you're now your entire purpose in life is to make me happy. You know what? Then say something negative about Michael Kay. That'll make me happy.
No, I'm not going to jeopardize that
exactly.
To make you happy.
I'm going
to
jeopardize that. I don't care about your happiness that much.
No, I do, but I don't think that's really going to make you happy. That's not what you want.
It would. Chris, wouldn't it make you happy to hear him say just something negative about Kay?
Yeah, but I know he won't do it, Dave.
No, exactly.
There's no way he would cross that line.
Bluff.
No. Not
well,
a chance.
It's not a bluff, though. I mean, me making you happy makes me unhappy. That doesn't make any sense. That's not what real friendship's about.
Yeah, but it would make us feel good. It would make you human. For you to just take a jab at Michael Kay, you do it with everybody else. Just a quick jab. Not kill him.
You don't know what our conversations are like privately. How do you know I don't criticize him?
Yeah, but I know you don't have any problem criticizing anybody else publicly. It's just with Michael Kay, you won't do it.
Yeah, you won't do it.
Even if you disagree with his take,
is there a
you'll
fear?
Deflect.
No, that's just it's the level of the relationship. It's just I can't explain.
We couldn't
it. It's
possibly
special.
Understand it, huh?
No, it's a different level.
Apparently, he declared war on. I don't know, it was me or the show yesterday.
Probably you. I mean, he doesn't love you.
No, I know that, and that's fine. But what I don't even understand what I did.
I just think I don't think he respects you, and I think he thinks you're a bad guy.
I'm a bad guy. He has a laminated list of people he hates.
Yeah, which I mean that's.
Yeah, we know.
He's
you respect it. We know you think it's great. Go ahead.
No, I'm not saying it's great. I mean,
kiss his bottom.
He holds grudges.
Kiss his bottom. That's
no, but
do.
This is what I'm saying. This is why I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize that relationship. I don't want to end up on that laminated list like you. Oh, by the way, speaking of which.
Uh-oh.
I was listening yesterday to the show, The Big Fella. I didn't even realize this. I have a lot of questions with this. You realize The Big Fella has bowled a perfect game before?
Carlin?
Yes.
No?
Yes. Like, he's a legitimate bowler.
A 300 perfect game?
Yes. Not in the league.
With the bumpers?
No, not with the bumpers. This is not league action, so he doesn't get the perfect game ring. But in, like, just bowling, he's bowled a 300.
That is shocking to me.
How big is it? Like, how do you get holes that big in the bowling?
You know what? He's probably like Fred Flintstone out there bowling.
A little yabba dabba do?
Yeah.
I think he wants a match. I think we're talking about having some kind of, maybe we should have a... That'd be a nice little event we could do.
A bowling event?
A little bowling event.
I'd much prefer the tennis or the pickleball to start.
No, we could have... But why not have multiple events?
In one day?
No, not in one... Not, no, we're not doing a...
They can't... This is a lot. You're going to ask for a lot.
An Ironman of events? No, we do a pickleball tournament, which I think is great. Because Peter plays tennis, or he says he plays tennis. Likes to whack around furry balls. And then... and then we do some kind of bowling event.
Why not just go WWE and have a Rumble Royale?
A little Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Because you win that every time. I don't know.
That's the whole point, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm on
so
your team.
DCR wins.
Yeah, we're happy. Exactly.
We're
exactly.
On the same team with that.
I'd sign up for that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'll just tag Canty and be like, all right, go.
How could you not? I mean, that's he just starts picking people up and throwing them out of the ring.
be
Although
great.
I think Don could get feisty. Like, I think Don is one of those guys.
Don could not take Chris.
I'm not saying he could take Chris, but I'm saying he appears to be the kind of guy like you have to like really.
Yes.
He told Peter he would smack his face dead.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that actually
Don
happened.
Has crazy in him. And Don's not a small guy. Don, I would agree, would be concerning in a battle like that.
Yeah! I probably put him 2 on the list.
Just don't talk to me that way.
Now, is it just these two shows, or like are you including others from the station?
No, just local.
Yeah.
I mean, Bart's big time now with the national stuff, so I guess we could include him. I mean, he's right at the top of the list now, too. But I'm still taking Canty in that.
I agree with you, Canty. Canty wins the whole thing.
Although, I'll tell you what, watching Bart on TV, he has not skipped neck day. His neck is thick.
Yeah, but
he's my friend.
How much bigger than Bart are you, Chris?
I probably have 80, 90 pounds on Bart.
Yeah. It's a lot of weight.
Plus, I mean, what is Bart? 6'1", 6'2"?
If that. I'm going to pull off a Lawrence Tynes. I'm going to punt those suckers all over the place.
I would take Chris every day.
Yeah, you could be his, like, we could come in. You could be his, like, his hype guy.
I could be, like Jimmy
his
Hart.
Manager. You'd be his manager.
Yeah.
I like that. Maybe we should do that. But that, no, they won't let us do that. We can't
of course
do fun
not.
Stuff.
Please.
No, we'll have to sign.
For charity, it'd be a charity event.
No, they don't care. We'll have to
charity.
Sign waivers. We'll have to sign waivers. Like, I tried to get Evander Holyfield to punch me and Allen, and they wouldn't let us do it.
Because he didn't want to do it.
Might kill you.
Kill you.
No, it wasn't. It was in the legs. It was get punched. Punch us hard, as hard as you can in the legs and see which one of us could walk out of the studio.
Neither. You would both be on the ground.
But I wanted to find out. Have you seen this? Have you seen how thin Allen's legs are?
No,
he probably would have snapped Allen's leg in half.
He would break his leg.
Yes, easily.
If Evander Holyfield hit either of you guys as hard as he could, you would break your leg.
But that's why I felt good about it. It was a bet, another bet I could win. Just like
how
the Yankee
is that good?
Bet I won.
So you claim you're this great guy and this great friend. You would enjoy watching your friend have his leg broken by the punch of a heavyweight boxer?
No, I didn't say I'm counting on it being broken. I just think there's a chance, so I would win. I'm just stacking the odds in my favor. Like, I'm probably going to win this thing.
That's great. You're a terrific friend.
Evander Holyfield is like scary. Like, yeah, I couldn't even imagine. I was nervous.
All right, it's giveaway time. Islanders fans, listen up. Isles are home against the Tampa Bay Lightning for Game 3, and 98.7 ESPN has your chance to be there. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. You'll score 2 tickets to Thursday's Game 3, all brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Get 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month. That's up to 50% less than the other guys. That is Straight Talk Wireless. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Mark in Staten Island. Mark, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Real quick, I just thought that the Yankees' biggest problem wasn't so much that they hired Boone, but more that they got rid of Girardi. You know, Canty said it at the time. This was a very young team, and Girardi got the most out of him. Sanchez had the best year and a half of any catcher ever. Judge was putting up an MVP season. Severino was a Cy Young candidate. I think that's exactly what the guys needed on this team, was an experienced, hard-nosed manager that got the most out of him. And it's not so much that Boone is doing a bad job. I just don't think he's the right type of manager for this type of team.
Well, and here's the thing, Mark, and I will say this. It's not so much the Boone-Girardi comparison. It's just that Brian Cashman felt like moving on from Joe Girardi could be the difference in this team competing at a championship level and going on a dynastic run. And since they moved off of Girardi, they haven't come close to being back at that same point. Well, let me not say that. They got to game 6 of the ALCS a couple of years ago, but they haven't been able to get past that point. And we were expecting that this Yankees team with this young core of players would be able to realize their full potential. That hasn't happened yet. So I just feel like this is yet another strike against Brian Cashman in terms of where this team is at and not living up to the expectations and not having a chance to compete for a championship in over a decade.
Do you realize what a disappointment this season could potentially be if they don't go to the playoffs? Like, the odds of them not going to the playoffs were single digits to start the year. And right now, Chris, I asked you earlier today in the show, do you think they go? And you said, you're not really sure. You don't know. I mean, this would be catastrophic to not get in.
Well, it's less than a 50% chance now, isn't it, Dave?
I think it was 91 to start the season, and now it's, what, 46 as of yesterday?
Yeah, so, I mean, when you fall that short of expectations, you're going to be looking around to see who's to blame for the team being in this situation. And right now, for me, number one on the list is Brian Cashman. And I know how great he's been in the past at putting together teams and having this team turn over and always being in the mix, always being competitive. But, I mean, is there really anybody else that you would put above Brian Cashman in terms of who you blame for the Yankees season so far?
I blame the players a lot. I think they have to take a lot of the criticism. I mean, Judge has been good. Stanton, when he plays, has been good. LeMahieu has not been good, right? Gary Sanchez is not good. So, I mean, a lot of the guys that you were counting on to produce have just, Gleyber Torres has not been good. So I'm not saying I don't blame Cashman. I do. But I think I blame Cashman, and I also blame the players. Because you can't have seasons like this from so many of these guys.
Isn't it amazing, though, how, I mean, go back when Cashman said, I don't want to win a championship. I want to win championships. And it was the baby bombers and how exciting they were to watch and how much. Like, I remember times we were having conversations on this radio station. Oh, yeah, this is a fun team to watch. They couldn't be more opposite now of that. This is not a fun baseball team to watch at all. Is it? Do you have fun watching the Yankees right now?
No, they're terrible to watch. Even when they win, they're not enjoyable to watch.
They don't play great baseball. I mean, they lack personality. They lack life. It's just, I mean, it's they don't win enough. I mean, it's painful now. It really is.
I hate to compare and contrast, especially with a local team here in New York, but watch the Mets. The Mets are fun. Like, there's energy, there's excitement. You're getting production from guys that you didn't really know who they even were to start the season. Like, the Mets are exactly what you would hope the Yankees would be right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's and look what, I mean, even you say that, and you're 100% right. It's with guys that you had no idea would be contributing at this point. Drury, McKinney, I mean, you name it. I mean, this is without McNeil. This is without Conforto. This was without J.D. Davis.
A bad Dom Smith.
If Dom Smith hasn't, I mean, he's good night last night, but you're right. I mean, he hasn't been the same player as
a bad Lindor
last year. Lindor, exactly
right. And injured Pete Alonso.
And you go up and down the list. No Carrasco yet. I mean, this is impressive what they're doing right now. But they look like they're having fun every single night. Win or lose, like they're having fun. Like Lindor stealing bases. I mean, it's they play exciting baseball. They do. And the Yankees do not. At all. It does not look like they're having fun ever, really.
So what changes? Other than us sitting here every day saying, well, it's going to get better. But why? Like what reason do we have, Chris, to think that, in fact, this thing gets better other than blind faith and because they're the Yankees?
Well, I mean, they have that saying in baseball, go to the back of the baseball card, and you have a lot of guys that aren't producing at that level right now. So your hope is that some of those guys can turn it on, and you'd like to think that Brian Cashman, you know, has a move or two that he can make that can kind of jumpstart this group. But, I mean, here's the thing. Are we convinced that Hal Steinbrenner is going to allow Brian Cashman to make that move if that move takes them over the luxury tax threshold? Like, that's the thing. Is this team worth going over that point, knowing that, you know, they've underperformed through the first third of the season or so, moving toward the halfway mark? Like, I don't know that happens. We'll see, but I just, again, guys, I don't have a lot of optimism that things are going to get turned around just because we've seen enough of a sample size to realize that this is not a good baseball team.
I think Brian Cashman has to do something, though. I mean, if this continues the way it's going, he's got to do something. I mean, because their opportunity to win is kind of, I mean, it's...
And then you're going to have to decide what you want to do with Judge long term.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you got all this money invested in Cole. You got all this money invested in Stanton. You get all this money you just invested in DJ LeMahieu. You're going to have to pay Judge or decide what you want to do with Judge.
Yep.
I mean, you got Hicks on a long-term deal. You got Severino, who unfortunately, you know, did what he did with his groin, so who knows when he'll come back. I'm like, they were expected to win here over the next couple of years, over, you know, the last couple and now the next couple moving forward. Like, DJ LeMahieu, the reason why you signed him is because you expected over the next couple of years to be competing for a championship.
Right, and here's the thing. At the end of these contracts, you thought, well, you know what, Cole at the end may not be great. And he's been, I'm not saying he's not good, but I mean, it's not resulting in wins. And LeMahieu at the end, you know, you gave him a little extra time, but you're going to really reap the rewards early on. Well, that's not happening either. And Stanton at the end may not be good. This is the time you're supposed to win. Because in the future, there are going to be hard times with some of these contracts. Aaron Hicks... Oh, that was a disaster of a contract for the Yankees.
And not only the contracts, though, but the team. I mean, the team is going to look different. Like, at some point, if you're staying under the 210, like, if that's the thing, we're not going to spend over the luxury threshold anymore. We'll see what happens with the new CBA. Is that, I mean, you mentioned Judge. I mean, these guys are going to have to, they're going to get it more and more expensive here. And you already have those, you know, big-time commitments out. Like, Gerrit Cole's not going anywhere. Stanton's not going anywhere.
Nope.
LeMahieu's not going anywhere. Like, I don't know who's trading for Hicks.
You giving Judge a six-year deal?
They're going to have to make that decision.
That's a, but that, I don't think that's such a clear-cut decision.
No, I mean, at the moment, it probably isn't. But I don't know if it, is that, you know, more about where this team is at or headed as to, I mean, Judge has been good this season.
Judge is great. But Judge is not always healthy, and Judge will be getting older. And Judge is a huge guy. And Judge would probably benefit from being able to be DH.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine, though, if Yankees fans, I mean, if Judge, because give him some credit. I mean, he's got the back spasms now. But for the most part, he's been, I mean, he's been on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So if all of a sudden now you're forced to make that decision because you have Stanton that's immovable and you're gonna lose Judge.
You think that's out of the realm of possibility? Now?
I don't. I do not. But,
I think that would turn off a lot of people. That would turn off a lot of people in the fan base.
That would make it even worse for Stanton. As bad as it is now, it would make it even worse.
He forced Judge out of the organization because he's like the like a landlock there in the DH spot. Let's go to Corey in Mineola. He wants to ask you about your Islanders. Good morning, Corey.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You guys are all great. I try to get on the show as much as possible. And, Rick, I have to tell you, I grew up with season tickets sitting right behind you. You're my icon.
My man. Thank you, man.
So I wanted to ask, if we can stay out of the box in the series, are we the better team, 5-on-5?
If we can stay out of the box, are we the better team 5-on-5? I think they're two different kind of teams. I think the way the Islanders play is not necessarily the way the Tampa Bay Lightning want to play, and I think you saw that in Game 1. I have a hard time saying we're the better team 5-on-5 because there's so much talent with Tampa. I mean, top to bottom, especially their forwards. I think I would say that they're right there. I wouldn't say better one way or the other, but I think they're right there.
But right there with them is still pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't think the Tampa
that's a loaded team.
No, they're loaded. I don't think that Tampa doesn't strictly need to be just on the power play to win the series. Like, that can't be the only thing. Okay, as long as we don't, you know, as long as we stay out of the box, we'll win the series. I don't think that's the case. I think if you play, I mean, you play the way you played in Game 1, how physical you were, like making smart decisions with the puck, forcing Tampa into mistakes. That's the thing, Tampa. I mean, they have to make a decision. Like, they're not going to be able to play the way that they want to play consistently. Like, try to make that extra pass, that pretty pass. Like, try to enter the zone and, you know, make plays at the Islanders' blue line. Because, right. I mean, that's going
to
bite them.
So, are they have to shoot the puck? Just get it on net?
Well, just get the puck. Just get the puck. Skill teams like that want to show off their skill because that's who they are. Like, the Kucherovs of the world, those guys, they're really skilled players. Stamkos, really skilled players. And they want to make that pretty pass as opposed to, okay, you know, I'm at the Islanders' blue line. Let's chip this thing in. We'll go get it. Because that's hard. Like, the way the Islanders play is a hard game to play. Like, you got to make a commitment. Like, I'm going to be committed to playing at this level with this kind of intensity, with this kind of physicality. And not all teams want to do that.
Game 2 tonight, 7:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's go around the horn. Chris, give me a winner tonight in the Nets game and a score.
I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm going to go 110-98.
Rick, you want me to go next, or would you like to go next?
Yeah, you go next. I'm still percolating a little bit.
You better percolate quickly. I am going to go with the Nets by the score of 96-91. Nets win it by 5.
96-91.
Yes.
Ooh.
I love the stress that this puts you under.
I'm going to go Nets win 101-98.
Wow. All right. So there we have it. There's our predictions. By the way, KJZ, in less than 3 minutes, right with the Nets, right at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. And, of course, Stephen A. at 9 o'clock on KJZ. All right, Santa, I know you've had them prepared since like 6:30 this morning. Let's give out the 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars of DCR. Number 3.
to be honest, I probably had them ready about 5 seconds ago, but all good, all good. So star number three is going to be technology, because it allows Dave to live stream Alex's game, which is all well and good. You really appreciate it. It's just that the fact that you're doing it during Ben's graduation, he's, as you said earlier in the show, he's becoming a man. He's moving on to high school now, and as Sherry said, you couldn't be present in the moment.
No,
I believe is what it was.
Well, why can't I be someone?
Why can't
that
you be
multitask?
Present in both moments?
Yeah, two presents in one moment.
I feel like this is something that you can check on later.
I don't want the double plow today.
You know, I appreciate your dedication to Alex's game, but I think the graduation that you're actually attending probably had a little bit more importance in the moment.
You know, you're
the
same guy that if I only focused on the graduation and not his 11U baseball game, would be like, what kind of parent are you not to at least check in and see what's happening?
It's possible.
I can't win with you.
It's possible.
Yep.
Number two.
Actually, one thing I will agree with you on is that it's difficult to choose one team in town to root for and then another team when they're being successful. So, in that sense, as a Rangers fan, Dave, I want to make very clear, not rooting for the Islanders. I can be happy for the success. Just as a Yankee fan, I was happy for the Mets' success when they went to the World Series about 5 years ago. I thought it was good for New York. I thought it was good for baseball. I think the Islanders making a cup run is good for hockey. It's good for New York. Am I rooting for it to happen? Probably not.
Good guy, Sandy. You're a good guy.
So, hang on a moment. What's the star?
The star is the argument that, yes, you can't root for another team in town, but you can also be happy for the success.
All right.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know how happy I am.
Your response speaks. Your silence speaks volumes.
Number one.
They create solace in their success, but okay.
The other thing, and I want to settle this once and for all, because the K show kind of implied there'd be war here between the shows, and you guys seem to think that it could be violence or it could be a competition. What do you want to challenge the K show to if it comes down to it?
Canty fighting whoever they want to put up.
Be a bloodbath.
I like our chances in that one.
Yeah, I love them.
You kind of look like the Undertaker. You kind of look like the pallbearer a little bit too.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not as big as that guy though. we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll see how the Nets facially and the Bucks fare. Thanks, pal. You're my best friend. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.